The classic Samuel Beckett play Waiting for Godot starts in Perth this Friday. Its star is one of the world's foremost stars of stage and screen. Sir Ian McKellen joins us in the studio now. And I forgot to ask you before we started, how would you like me to address you?
Oh,
do you like being called Ian or do you like being called Sir Ian?
No, I don't like being called Sir. I don't like being separated out from the rest of the people. If I'd had a bit more guts, I would have said, please don't give me a knighthood because I don't want to be Sir, really. But there we are. I liked the... it was a very nice gesture of the government, so I said yes. But no, Ian will do nicely.
Sir Ian sounds very good. I've been watching...
call me what you want.
I've been watching that lovely Ricky Gervais...
Oh, yes.
...cameo that you did.
Extras, yes.
Yeah, you're giving him a few tips on acting, and I loved the...
It was a wonderful thing to do that. I mean, Ricky and his writing partner, Stephen Marchant, wrote it. So although it appears very much to be... a parody of me. It's their idea of what I'm like, and it's a bit.
That would be a bit disconcerting.
It's changed my attitude to interviews and so on, and talking directly to camera about my work. I do try not to be like that pompous ass that so many people have watched on YouTube. But anyway,
it's a wonderful piece. I've seen it about 20 times. Look, can we start with Waiting for Godot?
Because yes,
that's why you're here.
Yeah.
It's a bit like the original Seinfeld production, I think, because it is a play about nothing.
Well, that's, yes, it's been called all sorts of things: absurdist drama, existentialist drama. I don't know what either of those really means. And our approach through the director Sean Mathias was simply to take these characters at their face value. And once you start doing that and looking into the text, they're in a very real situation. Dee Dee and Gogo, my part, they're homeless. Something has happened in the world. We don't quite know what. That's reflected in our set, which is a ruined theatre. They sleep rough. They don't have enough to eat. Gogo, my character, gets beaten up each night. It's a dangerous world. And on comes a man on the end of a rope attached to his owner. So it's an alien world in which these guys are trying to survive. Now, some people say, well, nothing happens. Well, I think that's quite a lot to have already happened. They're waiting for their lives to get better. And I think any of us can relate to that. People are waiting to win the pools, you know. They're waiting for the government to change. They're waiting to meet the right person. I used to, as a kid, used to wait for Christmas, you know. Waiting is a big part of the human existence. And I think Beckett cottoned on to that. But it's a tragic comedy. There's lots to be amused at and be tickled by, and there's singing and dancing and all sorts. It's not an ordinary sort of play. And there's a bit of poetry in there as well. But the tragedy is that they don't seem to be able to get out of this terrible situation that they find themselves in.
We don't like much living in the now, do we? We do like to wait on stuff.
Well, fantasy is a big part of what keeps us going as human beings, and these two have their fantasy, as it turns out, that Mr. Godot is going to arrive and everything's going to be different.
And, of course, he never does.
Well, maybe in Perth.
Maybe in Perth. And a lot of people don't get Beckett, and I've... As far as I know, Beckett never actually had a particular fondness for this play until it started making him some money. And you were never really a fan to start off with either.
No,
so you never really got Beckett to start with.
No, I think I saw a not very good production 50 years ago, mind you. And but the play has been kept going over the years because actors have enjoyed acting in it so much. I think I celebrate my 350th performance of Waiting for God in Perth. That's how long I've been doing it in London.
So you clearly changed your mind.
Oh, totally. It's a great, great play and a very popular one. But I think because actors like doing it and audiences like coming to see actors, maybe. And of course, it's studied at school. Goodness knows how kids can, what they can make of the script. It's a very difficult script to read. But it's not difficult to act. And I love doing it.
You must love doing it because you've said 350 times. And you started off with Patrick Stewart, and now you're working with Roger Rees.
Roger Rees, an old mate of mine from the Royal Shakespeare Company 30 years ago, when I think we did 7 plays over a very short period of time. And then Roger had a big success as Nicholas Nickleby in a famous production that went to Broadway in New York, and there he stayed. And we've lured him back to... to London initially, and now on this tour.
Do you find it emotionally a bit exhausting playing all of these immense characters, as you've played, you know, I mean, Macbeth and Richard III and Magneto and Gandalf are immense characters in their own sort of way. Is it emotionally exhausting?
Emotionally? What? Yes and no. Actors are always complaining, and I must be careful not to complain because I have a charmed life. I couldn't be doing anything I'd be happier doing than this. Acting in the theatre, I think, is a young person's game. I'm increasingly feeling there are usually a lot of stares involved backstage that have to be negotiated, and I'm very relieved that my character in Wedding for Godot sits down quite a lot. He's got bad feet. It's about old people. That's another thing about Wedding for Godot. It's a play, and the two central characters have both known each other for 50 years. And Roger and I are the right age. We've known each other for almost that length of time. And so my character has bad feet. My mate Didi has a prostate problem. I've got a short-term memory loss. All this is rather familiar. but it's not emotionally exhausting. No, I wouldn't say that. But physically, often, yes, particularly the theatre. And in film, it's tiring in a different way, because although you get up very early in the day and you arrive on set and you have a free breakfast and then you're in makeup if you're playing Gandalf and having all that stuff put on your face, you're there for another couple of hours and then you go into your trailer and you wait. Oh, hello, wait. It's all about
it's
waiting.
It's a recurring theme.
And you wait for
you
the director to call.
You can't get away from it.
No, you wait for the director to call you. And then just once in the middle or the end of the day, you have to do 2 minutes of intense work. And you have to be alert and on the ball, because this is for posterity. This is it. This is for eternity. It's now or never. That's a different sort of discipline. It's not so much tiring as it energizes you and then exhausts you, really, with relief that it's over. But plays go on and on and on. Different every night, different audience, different city, different country. It's so you don't get tired.
Did you feel intimidated playing Gandalf? And I ask you that, I suppose, because it's the only one out of all of those absolutely immense characters you've played. So many other fabulous actors have played them as well, but you're it with Gandalf. If you didn't
Gandalf
get it right...
Gandalf is mine, yes. Well, not quite. The other actors have played him on radio and on tape, but yes.
But
on
this was
appearance
it.
And everything, yes. Which is why I'm very keen to do The Hobbit, which is the precursor of Lord of the Rings, and when... After we've finished in Australia with Wedding for Godot, we're going to Wellington, and I'll meet up with Guillermo del Toro, who's going to direct it, and he's promised to tell me exactly what the state of play is, and I've read the script, terrific. Yes, and I wouldn't like to feel anybody else was going to put on the pointy hat.
I don't think...
No, well, I didn't. Was I intimidated? Well, it was the most popular novel of the last century, and I suppose you could say of the film it's been the most popular film so far of this century, or pretty nearly. I mean, it's not in the cinemas much anymore, but kids watch it non-stop at home, and quite young children as well, some of whom have been coming in to see Waiting for Godot.
Because they want to see Gandalf.
Well, they do, but the best play I've ever seen in my entire life, said a seven-year-old to me in Melbourne. So... But Gandalf, yes, you would think it was a bit of a responsibility because it was so popular. And Peter Jackson, who was directing, wanted to keep very much in touch with the fans of the book while we were making the film, and I did too. I used to keep a diary on my website, and inadvertently I invented blogging. Nobody else had done it before. This was 10 years ago. It's unbelievable to think that nobody blogged 10 years ago.
I know, and you are
I'm a veteran
celebrity blogger.
Yeah. Yes, I still can't get my computer to work. So we knew how much people were depending on us to get it right and to present on screen what they'd always imagined in their minds. And I was always telling them, look, we're doing Peter Jackson's script. It's his version, and if you want to make something different, you'll have to make it yourselves. But... Peter was true to the books, and the look of Gandalf was true to the illustrations that Alan Lee and others had done for the novel. So it seemed sort of familiar to the audience when they saw it. And once those die-hard fans had approved of it and followed by the critics, then we had a fair wind.
Was it? Absolutely marvellous. And has there ever been a character where you have felt any doubt about how you really get its essence?
Or yes, every single one I've ever played.
Really?
Yes. I choose scripts for two reasons. One, they have to be good in the sense of it has to be a film or a play that I think I would like to see for myself, whether it's an old play or a new one. And then, if the answer to that is it is something I like to see, then I say, is it a sort of part I think I can play? And if the answer to that is yes, then I'm much less interested than if the answer is I'm not quite sure, because I like a challenge, and I think that encourages me to be not just different, but hopefully better than I've been before. I've forgotten what your question was, but maybe that answered it.
It did. Such a brilliant range. And you come into your film career so late.
Yeah, I've made a lot of films over the years, but if you make a film that nobody sees, of course, nobody knows you've made it. And I've made a film almost every year of my career, 50 years now, but it's only of late that I've been lucky enough to be in films that people have really wanted to see. So it looks as if I'm a newcomer. But I think I've got better at film acting, so it's perhaps appropriate that nobody saw those early movies.
We're talking to Sir Ian McKellen on Afternoons. It's 25 minutes past one. I've got a listener question for you, if you don't mind taking it. Lisa has rung in to ask. She would like to know how you would pitch the play Waiting to Godot to a teenager who doesn't really want to go, but Lisa thinks would immensely enjoy it if they did.
Well, that's a very good question, and I think I'd hope that they enjoyed going to the theatre itself, and if they haven't been before, then that's quite an experience sitting with a lot of strangers, and they'll find people of their own age there. It's not just a middle-aged, middle-class occupation, you know, theatre going. There's a whole range of people turn up, and the fun of it is that you'll discover that you're enjoying it for exactly the same reasons as the people around you are enjoying it, and there's a communal response. And the story is you don't have to worry too much. It's not complicated. You're not going to lose the plot because it doesn't seem to be much of one. But what you get involved with it is the insides of these people, and you get inside their minds. And not many films do that. And, not much on that's available on laptops and the internet does that. And you just sit there for 2 hours and you enter a world that you can really sympathise with, and it may change your own world when you think about it afterwards. So there we are. And you'll have a good laugh and you'll see me dance. And I look rather like Gandalf at the moment. I've got a long beard. So if it's Gandalf you want to see, there's half of him here.
You're looking actually very respectable. We've all heard
that
story about, considering. We've all heard the, I'll just qualify that by saying, where you're rehearsing in Melbourne and
yes.
Somebody stops to, you've gone out in a break and you're dressed up as a tramp.
That's right.
As part of your role, and somebody stops to give you some money.
They did, bless them. I had my bowler hat between my feet and a man went by and said, do you need some help, bro and brother? And he dropped a dollar coin and then joined his wife who was waiting for him. And he had a big grin on his face. And I thought, I think he knows perhaps that I'm an actor. And then I thought, no, he just feels good about himself because he's been generous to someone who's down on his luck. And he never identified himself. And I've kept the coin. I don't have it with me now, but it'll be pinned up on the a couple of drawing pins at the Majesty's Theatre for the duration, and it'll be my good luck token for the rest of the tour.
It was wonderful, and I know I know that you were admiring the generosity of Australians at the time and thinking how warm they were, and I thought it was quite. And this is probably a bit of a heavy question to finish off with, but just a couple of days later, you're at a rally speaking out for gay rights.
Yes.
And I thought, what a strange sort of.
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm a human being. I in public, I often have to answer questions, and they're usually about my work. But I only ever, beyond my work, talk about what I feel I'm an expert in. And I'm an expert in two things. I'm an expert on acting because I've been doing it for 50 years. And I'm an expert on being gay because I've been gay for 71 years. So I think I've got something to tell people that they mightn't otherwise know about. Apart from that, my politics, the fact that I'm a vegetarian, that I don't approve of nuclear weapons, all sorts of things, I don't talk about that at all because I don't feel I'm quite qualified. But on those two issues, I know a lot. And gay people around the world have had a hard deal. And it's getting better, thank goodness, in Australia as in the UK. Parts of the world, of course, it's absolutely dreadful. But in Malawi, two young men were in prison for 14 years for being in love with each other. And in Uganda, they're proposing to make it so illegal to be gay that they will kill people who are gay. So when you're one of those people themselves, you feel you have a right to express your indignation and your hope that the world will get better rather than worse, and that minorities will be celebrated rather than reviled.
And you're so patient with that. I guess it was just the the generosity in on one sense, and then you are so patient with it, but you must feel such a frustration that we're still in a civilized country where that doesn't happen, and
it's a great thing about. I'm in a very privileged position. When you're working in a foreign country, you make immediate contact in a way that you don't if you're a tourist. And I meet people on the ground, and it was gay people who came to me and said, you're here, we've got a problem, will you come and help? How could I resist? It makes the trip all the more worthwhile. I feel I've genuinely a part of Australian life and culture for a moment or two. And that's my motives, and if people approve, I'm glad.
It's wonderful to have you here, and I understand you celebrated your birthday.
Oh, I had a wonderful day on Cottesloe Beach. We ended up in a gay bar in the Quarter Tile, and we had an Indian restaurant. There's an Indian restaurant called Go-Go's here. Did you know that? And Go-Go is the character I play in Wait Over Goddess. So where else could we go for my birthday but Go-Go's?
I'm glad you had a wonderful time here. It's fabulous to have you here, fabulous to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye, Gillian.
Sir Ian McKellen on Afternoons. Headlines for you next with Rachel Papazon.